Welcome back to Retail Therapy on the Sunday Scaries podcast feed. My name's Will DeFries. In the studio with me today, Barrett Dudley. How's it going, Barrett?
Man, I'm doing so well today. Just a great start early in the week. It's still college football season. And we got a little home and home for ourselves here this week.
We do.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal to me. So should we introduce our special guests?
I think it's probably time to do that.
Should we just
Barrett?
Jump right in?
It's been a minute since we've had some guests here. I think the people out there have definitely heard of Canoe Club.
I think they have.
Today we've got Chase Brown, Timothy Grindle. How's it going, guys?
Excellent. Doing well, yeah. Excellent.
Excited to be here with two pros.
Well, you guys are professionals yourselves. Along with Canoe Club, you do the customer service podcast over there. So, y'all know what you're doing as well. You got the soundboards behind you. Professional looking setup. You got the microphones. I think it's four professionals in the building today.
Let's go.
I like that you think of us that way. When I look around the room, it feels less to me than what you guys have going. But we'll get there. We just need a soundboard with all these little things. I need more buttons in here. Is the what we're lacking at this point?
Once you get the soundboard, that's when you really feel official. It's like okay, I'm gonna all I do is hit the theme music and let it fade. But I feel like a DJ.
I frequently say that when I'm over there, I'm on the ones and twos. Mm-hmm. And I had to do that for the first time in years a few weeks back. And it's kind of daunting. It's a little overwhelming. And I never could figure out how to I get the buttons at the ready and like do the sound bites at the right time. And so that's a practice skill as well.
It looks cool. Yeah. And you can tell you've got the confidence that you know it.
Well, usually we start every episode complaining about the weather here because we can't wear the clothing that we want to wear. And being that, Sunday Scaries, Retail Therapy, you guys are in Denver, like
Boulder, right?
Or Boulder.
Boulder. Yeah,
sorry, yeah. Boulder. Sorry. I could not be more jealous of the weather that you guys get. I'm pretty sure that Barrett and I would switch places like right now if given the offer. How cozy are you guys getting lately with your just outfit choices?
I mean, our weather is twisted here because we get, I don't know what we always mess up the phrase, but it's like 325 days of sun or something like that, but we still get like full seasons.
Yeah.
And like when it snows, like we're from the Midwest originally, so anything is kind of an improvement at this point, but like, it's like when it snows, it's gone by noon because it melts, but it looks pretty when it's there. And then like when it's hot, it's dry. So it's really not, 90 degrees does not feel like 90 degrees where we're from.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's great. So right now it's sunny and nice and cool, and you can wear like sweaters and jackets and stuff, but it's like you're chilling.
I mean, we did get 7 inches of snow
randomly,
over Saturday, Sunday last weekend, though.
When's opening day? Are you going to, you'll be hitting the slopes here before too long?
I'm sure some of our customers have. Timothy is not a snowboard.
I've
or
never
ski
went.
Fella.
I never even heard about it until I moved out. I mean, I've heard about skiing, but like we didn't do it or anything, So when people are like, "Oh, you're gonna go skiing," I'm like, "I don't think that's gonna be something I pick up at 35." Like, I just can't. I can't imagine having a broken leg at this age. So I can't do it.
Speaking of cozy fits, Will, I clearly did not get in Chase and Timothy. I didn't get the black crew neck memo, and frankly, I'm disappointed. So.
We'll let you know next time.
let's set up Canoe Club a little bit. Let's just talk about it. I would describe it as a multi-brand men's retailer in Boulder, Colorado. You were founded in 2017. We have obviously talked about Canoe Club a bunch on this podcast because it is the home for modern Americana, basically through almost any lens that you want to look at it through. That's how I would describe it, whether that's Southwestern or Japanese Americana. Classic American brands like Ralph Lauren, RRL, your fancy Japanese stuff like Capital. And then, I'm regularly discovering brands like Fortella as well. Mm-hmm. So Chase and Timothy, I know y'all are the content creators over there, and I would describe you as the face of the store, but what are your roles as far as the founding of Canoe Club and buying and all of the assorted hats that you wear over there?
Yeah. It's always like a little tough because we've always kept it kind of like democratic and that we just, there's work to do. So we all do the work together. I would say if we're like, we're talking specialties, I'm one of the owners. I founded it with a guy named Bob Lamy. And then I'm like the lead on the buying. And then I do like the financial stuff and all the other boring things.
Stuff.
And Chase, you,
I handle a lot of the community management. Barrett, obviously from like Styleform and Discord and stuff like that. And then also all of the shipping, fulfillment, receiving, importing the product itself, that kind of all falls on me. And then, as Timothy mentioned, we all do a lot, a lot of other things in between as well.
But those would be the podcast together. Like we don't actually create any of the content. Like we have people that work harder than us that do all that. We just sort of get told what room to go into and then what to talk about.
Well, Chase, you forgot male model on your list of things, though.
A famous male model.
It happened. I was just around, and I think I was the one default to wear the clothes for 4 years or so. So. Yeah.
Well, I think I kind of discovered Canoe Club through, as you mentioned, Style Forum. Y'all are like an official affiliate over there, and you've got a really active thread. And you know, one of the things that I immediately noticed like right away that y'all are doing so well is like the editorials and the your favorite fits of the month, which you know can be found on your website. And I feel like that's one of the reasons why Canoe Club kind of elevated so quickly to becoming, you know, really like a destination place that so many people know about and talk about. Is that did you kind of envision it reaching the level that it has when you started it?
I mean, me and my partner have always said like we don't want to do anything unless we think the opportunity to be the best at it exists. Now I think that like that's completely that can be interpreted by anyone to be like what our best is might not be what our people's best is. And we never wanted to be like, it wasn't like an intention to be like enormous. We just wanted to be the, like the best store. So we wanted to have a selection that made sense to us. That wasn't just like for at the time when we opened, so many of the stores were like one thing. It was like, you're a workwear store or a streetwear store, whatever it was. It just felt very like pigeonholed. And it was like, that's not how people dress, in my opinion. It's like much more eclectic. Like people blend all sorts of things, and that's what we wanted to do and what we wanted to be. We wanted to introduce new brands while still having like interesting choices like Margiela or something like that mixed in. So that was like the curation was that's the version of the best to us. And then we wanted to be like really community oriented and like approachable and normal. Cause it's just like, that's what, you know, Chase and I grew up on like internet culture and like the forums and everything. So it's like, we knew that these are just like normal people that want to shop that just have like, you know, high interest in like unique things. And we just wanted to be a store that didn't feel so like old Barney's. We didn't want it to feel like,
How did you guys get into it?
We're the best at that, but
how'd you get like the retail or the fashion bug? Was it from the online forums and blogs, or was this something that was in your life beforehand? Cause like, I know Barrett, you've worked in retail. My dad had retail stores growing up. I started working retail later, and I never really like knew that I was into it, but I think it was always a part of my life in a way that I couldn't really step away from. So when we started this, it was kind of natural.
Yeah, I mean, I've personally always worked in retail, and then in college, like I worked for like Red Wing and Levi's, and that was like, those were like my part-time jobs, and then moving out to Colorado. I guess I've just always worked in retail. I've always been interested in clothing in some regard, whether it's through skateboarding or going to shows or, you know, anything of that realm, and I know Timothy is pretty much spot on with that as well.
Yeah. I mean, I got into clothes just because like we didn't have like loads of money for clothes. So I had to kind of get obsessed with them through what I could. And like my grandmother had like, she's super into Ralph Lauren. So she had the Ralph Lauren book when I was a kid. So I would just like leaf through that when I stayed with her during the day. And I just got like really, it was more like more than just fashion. It was like the lifestyle stuff. I was like just super into that. And I got really obsessed with it. It was just like, you know, you want what you can't have kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like we, you know, we both grew up in like the hardcore scene. So like there was like that DIY mentality is basically how I got into what I do. It's like, I started like touring with bands and stuff, and I didn't like making money that way, but I liked like building the websites and making the merch and sell, you know, like doing all like that almost like business side of that.
Yeah.
And fashion was such a huge part of it. So I went back to school and finished up so I could work in fashion. I had to kind of make up a degree because they didn't really have exactly what I wanted. And it doesn't matter anyway. Ultimately, it was just about making connections after that. So like I got out of school and I started working for I emailed like literally 100 boutiques, and I was just like, somebody will answer. The first place that answered, I moved to Chicago like a week later and just took any job that was fashion related that I could possibly get. And then ended up working at a couple boutiques there that sort of
So,
worked wholesale.
Which ones were those that you worked at in Chicago originally?
I worked for a really long time at a store called Independence in Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was the first employee there. So like a lot, you know, a lot of like the shelves that they probably still have were like I built, and you know, I was heavily involved with there, and then I did a wholesale on the, you know, and helped with Oak Street Bootmakers, which was connected to that at the time.
Yeah, that's it's not surprising to hear that, because like I feel like, you know, some kind of heritage shops like Blue Owl or Independence were kind of like the precursors to Canoe Club, and it's just then y'all took it and you leveraged Discord and social media and Style Forum and just like everything that y'all have done so well, and kind of like just really kind of took it to this next level where you're frequently talked about and just on the radar of everybody from throwing fits and Sunday scaries to GQ. So it's really cool to see what y'all have accomplished out there.
I think I'm going to start talking. When I ask dudes about how they get into fashion, I think I'm just going to be like, all right, did you work in retail? Did you skateboard, or did you listen to like punk or hardcore music? Cause it's one of the three.
Yeah.
Well, I love,
we always joke about that too. It's like between guys coming to the store, joining Discord or whatever, it's like, all right. Like, for instance, we had a fellow in the store the other day, and Timothy was talking, and he looks him up and down and is like, you're from Boston, like a hardcore kid.
Yeah. You can just tell by the tattoos and general energy. It's like, you didn't work here. He's not a UPS guy. So it's like, there's only so many jobs they have. It was like tattoo guy, UPS guy.
Barber.
Yeah. Are you working retail in some way?
Well, I loved what you said about, you know, it's kind of like you want what you can't have. Because I always had, you know, I think a lot of people that are into style have thought about, you know, potentially having their own boutique because you get to do this curation and all of that. But really, it's just about like you get whatever discount on the clothes you want.
Oh, right? Dude, the discount was like the best thing. You know, that was one of the toughest parts about quitting my old job. I was just like, all right, I'm going to miss working with all of you, but at the same time, I'm going to miss 40% off of like really expensive scented candles and shit.
Yeah. There was, you know, as we'll mention, we've both worked in retail and for a while, I really thought that what I wanted to do was become a buyer. And then the more I kind of like dove into that and talked to people that worked at Nordstrom or Barney's or Saks or wherever, it like really became clear that when you reach that like department store kind of big box level, it's like very little like active decision making where you're just like, I have a hunch. It's really like looking at spreadsheets and numbers and all of that. So at a smaller store like Canoe Club, do you get to kind of go off your gut a little bit more?
Sure. I mean, we never like don't do that, if that makes sense. Like, it's always been a situation where it's like, look, gut overrides everything else, because if we don't have that, like, I just don't think, especially even though like after COVID, like we grew a ton and it changed like the dynamics of things by a lot. But at the same time, like I just don't think you can look at numbers, but like in fashion, you're always working a year ahead anyway. So like the numbers that we have on something like basically a year ago, the way I'm thinking about it, even though that's current, that doesn't feel like always like relevant information. So you kind of are forced to go off your gut like all the time. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you know, luckily because we've created these spaces for ourselves and our customers to like communicate, we can use like real time information from our customers, like, you know, through Discord or Styleform or whatever it is, and gauge out like the interest in any brand or like what people are talking about or what people are shifting towards. So it's more just like, yeah, I think that's still considered gut because none of that information is on paper. Mm-hmm. It's certainly not in Excel, but it's like you do have a lot more information on hand. I mean, even through Instagram anymore than when I like bought for a store, you know, 10 years ago. That was more just numbers, and all you'd have to go off of like sell through of the year before and be like, I hope this applies, you know,
right,
and,
right.
You know, but it doesn't always, it didn't always apply. So the way that we're doing things now is it's definitely adjusted, but we're just kind of leveraging, like you said, like outlets we already had to just learn more and better serve the customer. So it doesn't feel like a big differentiator, but it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Is when you talk about kind of like fielding research from the, or engagement from your customers, is that how you like land on something that maybe like it almost like doesn't feel like a fit, like something like Essentials, I noticed was a brand that y'all brought in, I think last year. And it kind of, it feels like a little bit different. It gives the overall like look of the store, like a little bit something new. Was that, was that something that was customer based, or is that like, does that just fit in a different big picture way?
I don't know. I think that's more just the gut thing. Like, that's just like, you see people doing like, for example, like I love La Mer. And if you look at La Mer versus like something like Engineered Garments or something, there's not that much difference. It's just the approach is different. But like the key like philosophies are pretty similar.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's inspired from vintage workwear. It's built and then it's just being built out of different materials and like taking like, you know, minimalism versus maximalism. You know what I mean? And it's just like, and it's just kind of like it's two different sides of the same coin. And a lot of that thing just always feels like that to us, where it's like, I know people are like, it's essentials is one that like confuses people or something. Kinda, but number one, that's kind of what we want to do because it just makes us different than every other store. Every other store, it's like you can go, they carry these three brands, so I bet I can guess the other three brands they carry.
Right.
I don't really want to be like that. Number one, I just don't believe that's how people dress.
Yeah.
Because we watch like younger kids come in the store and we'll cop like, you know, in Orslo Type 2, and then they're wearing it with like, you know, essentials, you know,
sweatpants
and sneakers and shit. And you're like, yeah, that's how people actually dress. You're mixing and matching all of it together. And maybe like if you don't see that or we don't put that out there, then you never have that point of view because you just didn't see it unless you saw your friends doing it. So we're trying to act as like people's friends rather than act as like just like that's one. Fair. We have one, you know, singular view of how things can work.
I mean, in the concept of like buying for yourself or buying for your customer, how much does being in a college town affect that? I mean, you're so online versus, you know, the the brick and mortar. Does I'm intimidated as hell from college kids and high school kids alike. Like, I mean, do you worry about buying for that younger demographic?
I mean, there's definitely brands that we say, oh, that's going to crush it in the store. You know, like Capital in Boulder in particular gets a great response, both from the younger college kids to the wealthier faux hippie folk who live in Boulder as well. And like, there's kind of that, but like you said, we are so online. I guess we do kind of break it apart in some ways, but
I really truly believe in eclecticism, like as a theory. And that's basically all we're doing is it's just like, just put it all in a place. And as long as we stand by every individual thing, people will get it. And I think that like, that's the thing. We have a lot of like, you know, like we have like a parents weekend here or something with like you know, the college. And then it's like, we're watching that like, you know, moms and dads are shopping alongside their sons and daughters. Like it doesn't feel like one thing or that. It's like, we can kind of cater to both and you can kind of freak it in either way. You know what I mean? If you want to like dress a La Mer blazer down, you can make it look pretty streetwear, whatever the hell your style is, or you can go the opposite way and, you know, make it super formal and clean and wear it to the office. I'm pro either version, as long as you're buying cool stuff. And
I like that answer a lot. It's like you're kind of holding up a mirror to what you're seeing out there and what people are actually doing, and that makes a ton of sense. Well, I was thinking about the same thing that you were, though. Like, you know, it's just we're in Austin, we're a college town as well, but like I just don't get the sense that the University of Texas kids, like I don't think I could find one that knows what engineered garments is.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
But I think that there's two ways to look at it. Number one, this isn't an if you build it, they'll come sort of thing. Like if you have this stuff, it filters the right people in because they're looking for it. You know what I mean? The second version is like, you're right in the sense that like CU Boulder is like kids from like LA and New York.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's like people that are a little more like ready to go or have heard of some of this stuff. So that helps a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We're still like, we're converting kids regularly into Canoe Club.
I'm sure.
Cult members.
I mean, did you guys just have record tie-dye numbers when Dead & Company rolled through town this summer over the 4th of July?
Listen, we do up the store a little different. Because first of all, these Dead & Company people, they can be hippies all they want, but they got money.
Will is one of these.
Yeah, well, the ticket prices alone like might actually stop people from actually shopping in the store.
How many times did you go this year?
I think three. Technically, it depends on how you look at it, but you could either go anywhere from four to six. Jesus. So,
yeah. Wait, did you come to Boulder?
I did not. As much as I would have liked to go to Boulder, I didn't plan well. And when I pitched it to my wife, she swatted it out of the gym. So it wasn't exactly, doing the 4th of July in Boulder when like there's other things going on for a Dead & Company show, it's a hard sell when you have a wife and kid that just don't really feel like doing it.
Totally.
It is buck wild.
Boulder's
when
crazy.
It drops.
I've said this story before, but there was a period a couple years ago, lady was in the store and I was like, oh, you know, just holler if you need anything. And she goes, oh, you know, I used to live in Boulder. Jerry was still in the band. So she gauged her life as like on the lineup of the Grateful.
Oh yeah.
So Boulder shows out in an insane way.
I had the chance to visit Boulder twice when a buddy of mine was going to school there, and I was here at Texas. And my two trips there were that they were, in a word, buck wild, like you said. That place really, really knows how to party.
Yeah, I did a college visit in 2004, I guess, and it was pretty quick after my dad was like, "Yeah, you're not going there." Like,
yeah, all the drugs are—they're just there. You don't have
they
to.
Are.
Like,
they are.
Yeah, he's like, it looks great.
Illegal.
They
no one gets in trouble.
Yeah,
it's like
they
lawless
were, and I didn't
by
have
college.
To. Yeah, I feel like, you know, over that last 15 years, Boulder, similarly to Austin, has gotten much more expensive and a lot of money pouring into the city. Like, you know, I feel like y'all kind of live at the intersection of that. But how has it affected Boulder just in general? You know, like what's the vibe like out there?
I mean, I think it's like confusing for us only that like you've been here longer than I have. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely changed a ton. Yeah. But at the same time, like I didn't know it like prior. Yeah. So I know that it's probably even crazier from that point. I mean, just through COVID, they like opened up a lot of like tech offices, like Google, Twitter, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And they moved a lot of the executives out here for like quality of life moves is what they call it.
Yep.
So it's good for business, bad for, I mean, or good for, yeah, if you're trying to buy a home,
right,
it's like
right.
New York pricing and it's not as competitive. Well, cause there's, and they're not allowed to go up or out. There's all these like crazy hippie rules that are in place so that you don't, you know, you can see the mountains and
same
stuff.
I
think
it's mountains.
Like pretty similar.
Yeah. Yeah. It's obviously Colorado as well. You got a ton of outdoor stuff. You ever think about like, are you trying to integrate stuff like Arc'teryx or are you just kind of like siloing yourselves off from outdoor industry?
Well,
it's a tricky question because when we opened, we were very like sensitive about let's not do any of that because I think that like, it's just so prevalent here. I'm like, there's like, you walk down the street that we're on, you're going to run into a dozen great like outdoor like Patagonia.
Yeah. If you name it, they've got a store on Pearl Street.
Because it's such a big deal here. So, you know, we've done brands that go down that kind of like GORP sort of thing where it still makes sense with what we're doing. And it's never like, it's, I don't know. The thing is like the people in Boulder are probably not going to be the ones that respond to it. We still sold it great, but it's mostly going to like New York and LA. What I mean?
Yeah.
At the same time, we're actually starting to work with the North Face, and we're going to do some cool things with, they've gotten some new creatives in the office and stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some like changes over there. And there's going to be some like cooler, like, you know, more exclusive things that we'll be doing with them. So we're excited to be working with them going forward. So a little bit. Yeah.
Will you please do me a favor and beg them to let you carry Purple Label?
Oh, this is
buddy.
A constant...
Don't even get.
So here's a story about Purple Label. I used to, when I was doing wholesale, we had like a desk next to them, and that's not Purple Label, to Nautamika. That's who owns
it. Right.
And I got really friendly with the rep, and he's this like dude that's kind of doing all the translation for the upper management. And I was like, listen, Lance, we do this store. We have FISVM, we have blah, blah, blah. I list them like, and I think we're really good at storytelling. I'd love to look at, and he goes, don't go any further. And he goes, please lower your voice. He goes, do not let him hear that you're asking for Purple Label, and please don't bring it up. So it's like, they are like, they will not do it. I've been told not to ask. We were actually just in Japan and we like made it a mission to go get Purple Label because it's so cool.
I'm hoping
that we can eventually do things like it with them or they do something like it, but I don't know if it's ever going to be touched in the States. They opened in New York and they closed it in like a month because they couldn't control. They were like, you could only buy one thing, and they were like, you can only buy one thing like every 6 months or something. It was like they had all these crazy rules. They just shut it down.
I would have broken every rule they set out. I would have been like, it's like switching Halloween costumes and going back to somewhere. Like
it's my, you know, I had the chance to be in Tokyo earlier this year as well. Honestly, I haven't. For a trip to Tokyo, I haven't talked about it enough. I haven't been annoying enough about the fact that I was
would
there.
Not shut the fuck up if I went to Tokyo in the last year.
and it's, I think it's my biggest regret is I didn't just like load up. And I think it was, I was like, in hindsight, I just like, I remember how amazing it was, but it was the first time I'd ever seen most of it in person. And then it's like, I got back here and I was like, shit, you know, like Googling like Japanese proxy services, trying to figure out how to bring in a pair of Baker pants. But
we were standing in my hotel room with all of our baggage just on the floor going, all right, we got to get it in.
Oh, no.
Here we go. And it was just us trying to like Tetris it in.
Yeah.
But I mean, even then we came back with like, it might've been cinder blocks in our bags.
Yeah,
we were
brimmed. I didn't even have enough. There was a bunch of like candy I wanted to bring back and there just wasn't. Every square inch was accounted for, so it's a learning lesson. Next time we'll
bring an empty bag.
I mean, you could just go full Joey Tribbiani on the plane.
But yeah, just wear it.
Just absolutely load up.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. Not bad on that 30-hour flight.
Before we dive into our next subject, let's hear from our friends over at Blue Land. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. And plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. That's a lose-lose situation for you and the planet. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet. Their idea is simple. They offer endlessly refillable cleaning products with a beautiful, cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Just fill your bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You'll never ever have to grab bulky cleaning supplies from your grocery store run, and refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/scaries. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/scaries for 15% off. That's blueland.com/scaries for 15% off. Now, back to the episode.
Well, let's talk about a brand that you can get in the States. It's one that you just collaborated with and that we've mentioned already, Engineered Garments. You just released a really amazing collaboration with them that I feel like anecdotally is maybe the most popular collaboration that you've done yet. I'm in an Amelie on Door, Randy. Thank you, Randy. Discord.
I knew it was coming.
Discord, where that I think is like maybe has as many purchasers of the collection as the Canoe Club Discord does. Yeah. It was absolutely going off on there. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Like how it came together? You know,
First off, thank you for shouting that out in the previous episode. If I had known that you guys wanted, you just got to get in touch. So moving forward,
you know who to. You know,
we'll make sure you're taken care of. But
it was funny. It was like we do this like Q&A thing for YouTube where we just answer a gang of questions. Like, so we'll just run them down. People have submitted questions. We just run them down. And one of them was like, oh, if you could collaborate with anyone, who would you be? And then we both just were like Engineered Garments. Like it was just right away on the YouTube video. And honestly, we were like, there's probably other ones, but that's the one we want to do. And we just kind of moved on. I mean, that was the whole thing. Like it was, you know, he looked at me to have another answer. I'm like, that's my answer too. I don't know. We'll just move on. And it was like, it could have been, I don't know, 10 seconds because we answered it too quickly and we didn't like elaborate it either.
That's the answer.
And they've mentioned before that they really liked what we did on YouTube and through the podcast where we like, you know, do deeper dives into brands and talk through things and educate the customer and bring them along with us. And it was always super flattering that anyone would say that ever, but it was especially flattering when it's like the Engineered Garments team. And they had watched that video and said, hey, if you guys are really interested, let's start talking about what that might look like. And we're like, great. And so we just basically took like a kind of, I don't want to say general, like we had this like mood board that we basically made around like, here's what we think makes sense with Engineered Garments. Here's what makes sense with Canoe Club. Here's where I think that they overlap. And let's find somewhere in the middle. Then from there, we just kind of like took pieces that they've had before and then altered them into this kind of like vision that we had of sort of like, we're really into like uniform dressing as like an actual statement rather than like just an easy thing to do. And like, you know, like Chase, you always talk about like, what do they call that, off the chair or whatever it is?
Oh, I don't know that that's actually the term, but I always call it like off the chair dressing, where it's just like you get home, you take off what you got on and you're probably going to wear most of it the next day.
Okay. Yeah.
So we wanted to like make sure it like kind of fit into like that ethos too. So, cause that's what we've done with like Orslo in the past as well, of like having like that kind of like theory work. So it was just really natural. Like they made suggestions. We made suggestions. We stayed pretty true to like what we wanted to do initially, which was the kind of this take on like, you know, classic English workwear, as you know, so something super wearable that was a little bit more human than like, you know, just straight up, you know, old school workwear. So it was just like this really like, you know, everyday version of things that, yeah. And it was the most fun we've had doing a collaboration probably so far. I mean, I don't know. We have another one coming out with Orslow in like a month. That's really good and really special. So there's that as well. So I don't know which one, but this one was really fun. It's the first time we've worked with them. I've worked with them at this point for a long, like,
it's gotta be 11, 12 years.
Yeah, 12 years probably at this point. So,
well, you gotta hope that there's a part two on the way, because I've just pulled this stuff up and it's completely sold out, every single piece. So congratulations on that. That's amazing.
If we gave you guys 10 seconds right now to get your next collaboration in there, who are you choosing right now? We never know who's listening.
I mean, well, I think we'd love to do Capital, but they don't do any of that kind of thing, but it would be cool to work with them in some way, just because not only do I just love what they do because it's so fun and interesting and everything, but like and Chase met them. They're such cool people.
Yeah.
And it's just, it'd be really cool to, you know, to work with them in some way. So I don't think that one's going to happen, but we'll still throw it out there, because we didn't think the other one was going to happen and happen. So you never know.
One little tidbit that I think I caught on one of the Discords is that this storm color that you did for one of the sets, it's a club coat and the fatigue pant. This was based on like Japanese mailman. Mail carrier uniforms, which I thought was
it's
cool
kind of
detail.
Based on two things. It's a blend of, that was the easiest way to kind of like show it of like, you know, because it was like more of the full uniform. Theirs is a little bit flatter in color. This was also this employee that we used to work with, that we worked with for years. He went on and he has like a tech job now, but he had this Junia piece he wanted forever. And he talked about it like every single day. It was his background on his phone. And it was this like Junia Carhartt piece that was in that. It was a very similar color. And we were like obsessed with it. He eventually found it and has it now. Yeah. And it was like kind of, it was based on that, this like long-term like obsession with this one jacket, and then going like, and it would look, we were like, but it would look cool as like a total thing, right? But we weren't sure. And then we found this like, we were looking at all this like old, like, cause we inadvertently got like an old Japanese mail bag. Yeah. It's like they shipped it, and they shipped it by accident with this like magazine order we did.
Just delivered the whole thing.
So we ended up, actually, a friend of ours ended up turning it into clothes for us, which is really cool, in a bag. But we were looking at like old pictures of like the guys carrying them, because we were trying to look for it. And then that's when we noticed the uniform, and we're like, that uniform is gas. Like, so it's a little mixture of both of those two concepts kind of together.
That's pretty rad. I love hearing about the inspiration for that type of stuff. I feel like engineered garments pretty well known. I think one of my last questions, kind of like shop wise, was if you could give us any lowdown on kind of like incoming brands, or maybe some brands that are a little bit off the radar that you're super stoked on and excited about, kind of headed into to the end of the year and maybe 2024.
So one, we just got a massive Frism Works delivery, which is Korean workwear inspired.
It's definitely
stuff.
Lesser known.
I
mean, and their stuff is really affordable. The quality is really great. We don't understand how those two things go together.
The Frism Works pricing is amazing.
And the fits and proportions are just like, it's in that like Visvim range of like not oversized in like a negative way, just like it drops off the shoulder and is a little bit more cropped, and it like is big but it still fits, and it's just like stuff that you normally have to pay so much for, but you get like this cool fit and vibe and like details for a much more approachable price, which so we love Frism Works.
We got Coddle on the way. Coddle from Japan, if you're familiar. That is a
super unique collection. Like super into super like, you know, unique dyeing techniques, and like they're crazy, like they pull out thread, they unspool thread to dye it in the same dye that's used on a denim so that they can re-spool it and then use that on these older machines. Like, it's really like they raise the alpacas themselves and then hand dye it up from like leaves that are it's crazy.
This is that Japanese craftsmanship. Nobody else is doing that.
Can you imagine not raising your own alpacas for your menswear line? Cannot be me.
I know. It'd be so embarrassing. Cutting corners. Yeah.
Hey, quick question. Quick personal question. While on Frism, back to Frism Works real quick. Yeah. As a small boy, certified small boy, like 5'8", like 145 pounds. Like, can a medium fit me? Because there's no smalls.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they don't make smalls. It's only medium, large, extra smalls. Large. That's the whole
what's offered to us.
Yeah. You'd be fine. Yeah. Medium would be great on you.
All right. Thank you for that.
Well, I want to dive into some in-out lists that we've made them prepare. But before we do that, let's hear from one of our sponsors for this week's episode, and we'll kick it right back. Let's take a quick break to hear about our friends over at Shopify. When I started podcasting, an online store was the furthest thing from my mind. But now I run my store on Shopify, and it's so easy, all because Shopify makes it that simple. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. So whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor gifts, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. And you can even sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify has made everything so straightforward and simple for selling. They have so many different templates that you can use. They have just a straightforward process from start to finish of setting up the store. It's just easy. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify's global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Sign up now for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/scaries, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/scaries now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/scaries. All right, let's do some in-out lists. I tasked you guys with very little to go into this episode. Is there anything that's caught your eye that you might consider to be in, out, or anywhere
Listen,
in between?
I feel like we did too much here. So how do you want us to go one by one, or you want us to just railroad through it?
I will say that Barrett and I usually just start throwing them out, and then the dust seems to settle pretty quickly.
Yeah, if anything just sparks conversation, then we'll just jump right on top.
All right, and you guys said this could be anything, right? Because this
literally
was really
does not have
us.
To be fashion style. No, it can literally be, yeah. Anything.
Yeah, people are always like, In-N-Out is so out. And I'm like, okay, I'm just saying, like, what do you see that people are liking and disliking? I'm not trying to say that you can't do something.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I don't even know where to start, because like I said, we did like 25 of each. Yeah. We just had fun making them together. Well, you know what? Because you brought it up earlier. We really love like crew neck cardigans. So see what his is doing here?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Where it closes up, kind of like Audrey Hepburn style.
Prism works, by the way.
Dude,
we like this.
I bought something called a wool bomber is what they called it from J. Crew like years ago. And I've never seen a sweater like it ever since I bought it. And I just love wearing it all the time. And yeah, it buttons all the way up to the top. It's just a great sweater.
Yep.
The only ones I ever had before this were like Comme des Garçons. And those are great, but they're like really thin and a lot more delicate. So they're like a little harder to pull off. Like you have to like kind of like freak it a little bit more, but when it's like a little bit more oversized like this, it like changes it entirely, and it just becomes like this really like I love the way it falls, and like you can button it all the way up. You can like wear it a lot of different ways.
Yeah, so. Well, I would say this actually fits like a bomber.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, like that, with a cardigan, when it comes down and it hits you where it hits you, sometimes like if you're built like me, it doesn't exactly do you a lot of favors around the waistline, and you see a picture of yourself and you're like, oh no, that's what I look like. Whereas the like having that full chest coverage kind of evens everything out and makes it feel a little more like it's a finished piece. It's nice.
A little more proportionally sound. I completely understand.
I'm in on this.
And going off of like a cardigan thing, we're also into tucking in t-shirts. Like no more sloppy. You can do big oversized t-shirts, but when you tuck it in, because we're only doing big pants now.
Right, right. No voluminous pants, yep.
High waist gang.
So when that's high waisted and you got a t-shirt tucked in, but then you break it up with like a cardigan on top, that looks really good on like anybody's figure, honestly.
Yeah. I think I was in my closet this morning with a little bit of the fit paralysis that we mentioned last week. It came together and I feel pretty good about it. But the first thing that I tried on was a tucked in tee. And I think, you know, we talked about this a little bit, like the baggy pants, you can't have like a long t-shirt with baggy pants.
It looks goofy.
And so I feel like, you know, not all of my t-shirts are super cropped right now. So I feel like the tuck is kind of like, it's almost necessary right now.
If the tuck is challenging, I would strongly recommend just going and taking, I mean, look, I understand that it's not cheap to do this, but like, just go have your t-shirts hemmed. I know it's like $15 per, but like a lot of these guys that I know are like buying like more, like if you're $50 or above on a t-shirt, go have it hemmed to where you need it to go. It's not a big deal.
I probably need to bring a whole gang of tees to get hemmed.
I just bought some like overpriced scissors to cut a couple t-shirts, and then I didn't take into account the fact that they were going to roll up. And so now I just have a bunch of belly shirts that are like really cool.
Listen, I really became a pro about that when I was a kid, because that was big in like in punk music to have like cool jeans and then your shit was like, you know, rolled up right to the where the belt was.
Yeah.
So I've got it like mashed. I know exactly the amount to take off because you gotta count that roll or it's off.
Yeah, I've got some tough shirts out there where I'm just like, damn it, I would love this cutback.
Well, you're just way ahead of the cropped tee game.
Yeah, though. Yeah. I might need to get some Ozempic in the system before I start crushing my crop tees. I'll get there.
You got a crop tee.
You like do anything with full confidence, people won't question.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. What else you guys got?
The other thing we love, pajamas.
Yeah.
When we were in Japan, they had these pajamas that were like waffle knit.
Yeah.
And like they were
I stole them.
They're like waffle knit, and I don't remember what they're called. They're called like Jinbei or something. I don't remember the name. And it's like they're kind of like cropped at the ankle. They're like a lot of room, high rise. It's a button with a little collar on it. And when you put those on, you really feel like a different guy walking around the house. It's a cool look. So I went home, I bought multiple colors. Yeah. It really changes kind of the game.
Yeah, you know what I mean? he didn't have room to bring them home in the suitcase, but I nabbed them from the hotel room instantly.
Yeah, I didn't have room, but I copped as soon as I got back. And I'm not going back. I'm not. It's no more. We're in pajamas now at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I need to up my pajama game, especially now that I got two kids at home and I'm spending so much time just chilling around the house.
Is it full on, like, is it just for bedtime, though, or you, like, get home and you're, like, straight into the Jinbei?
Oh, I'm doing it right off.
Right
the
in.
Bat.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's like a second outfit. So it's fun for on that level too.
You put tomorrow's outfit on the chair and then you put on tonight's outfit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get it. You get it. Yeah. This chair is full of clothes. You know the chair.
Also, another thing that's in directly piggybacking. I know you guys are fans. Or I don't know if you're fans. Lululemon boxers are the only boxers that I'll ever wear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've got We're amassing like hundreds. Mm-hmm. I want to get to a point where I'm never wearing the same pair twice.
I have recently purchased. I purchased this through a friend who has a discount. And I just like was like, all right, I'm going all in. I'm getting like every single pair I can get. And after we did our Skims review, I was actually folding laundry this morning, and I took the Skims out of my laundry that were mixed in with all the Lulus. And it pained me a little bit, Barrett, but I put the Skims at the bottom of the pile.
Wow, straight to the bottom.
What length of Skims are you dealing with?
I went 3-inch. I kind of wish I went 5-inch, if I'm being honest. Yeah. Like, I think the 3-inch is riding up a lot, and I think the 5-inch would have had a little more staying power on the thighs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could even go 7, I think, if I needed to. I don't mind them long.
3 was a mistake.
I'm a trunk guy. I'm kind of disappointed they didn't have a 1.5. You know what I mean? But mine are Ooh. On the drying rack as we speak.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
Because this is crucial care information. I don't know, but if you know this, but these are hang dry only.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
Oh.
No, I threw them straight in the dryer.
Yeah.
Didn't go high heat.
I mean, you're living dangerously. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not buying something that cannot go in the washer and dryer.
No, I'm
not going to participate.
Especially underwear.
It's all going in. Yeah. So, especially underwear, dude.
So are you just like out there violating the rules of the care tags all the time, Chase?
I've never read a care tag in my life. Yeah. It's never even crossed
my mind. I guarantee he has not. Yeah.
That's, I'm impressed. Are you regularly like accidentally shrinking things or
I've
you
done
just
it,
like...
I've done it with one thing. It was a Levi's jacket, but it's my girlfriend's jacket now. So it's all good.
Okay. So it all worked out.
To be honest with you, I partly don't even care. Like if something got ruined, that's just an excuse to get something new. It's like when people are like, what are you going to do with a house fire? I'm like, I'll get, like, buy so much new stuff when that insurance check hits. What are you talking about?
This is retail therapy math. Like I hope I ruin this in the dryer so I can go get more.
Yeah. And if it doesn't get ruined, then cool. It's super easy to wash. The only I don't do pants. Pants don't go in the dryer because I need them to fit a certain way and I don't trust.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, but you know, you don't have to wash those every day.
Yeah.
No. I just dried my Drake's pants for the first time because they were fitting so loose that I was like, I think I need these to tighten up a little bit. Put them on this morning. Could not have been happier. I'm not going to do it for probably 6 more months and these things are just going to, they're going to sit on the aforementioned chair. But it was a leap of faith and it worked. So I'm glad
Everything
I didn't ruin
in moderation, them. You know, if you're just drying a little, it's fine.
More power to y'all.
All right. I don't know if we're supposed to keep going on ins and outs.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Okay, cool. We got some bangers.
You guys have the steering wheel.
Can we go to out for a minute, too?
Yeah,
can we ping pong?
Let's switch it over. Cool. Yeah.
Out, open floor plans.
We hate open floor plans.
We don't want it.
I knew this
Close us in.
I knew this was coming. There was only so much open floor plan that everybody could stomach. And there was bound to be a backlash.
Like, have you guys ever heard like the idea that only poor people put their couches against the wall?
I've not heard.
Have you heard this?
No, that's good.
Someone said that one time, and I was like, "Oh fuck, my couch is definitely against the wall. Like, I don't have anywhere else to put my couch. Like, but we have a relatively open floor plan, and I'm like, I just don't know what to do anymore. Like, this is tough.
Yeah,
I'm a couch against the wall guy. I don't care.
Mine's touching two walls, there so I don't know what that says about me. But mine's touching two walls.
He's got to get both.
But no more open floor plans. We want nooks. We want little nice places to have intentional. You know, I've always joked that, like, if I could have my bed in, like, a fairly tight walk-in closet, that would be ideal for me.
I toured a Frank Lloyd Wright one time where I was like, you could basically be in the same room, but two different rooms. Yeah. And I was like, I want that now. Mm-hmm. Ever since I saw it, that's what it's in my head.
I mean, I'm currently having an issue where, like, I have my vinyl set up and I've really been enjoying doing it, but it's a part of our open floor plan. And I, like, want to hang stuff above it, but it intersects with everything else in the room. And, like, I want a cozy little vinyl den where I can just hang out and vibe. But instead, I just have it with everything else.
It's got a vibe with everything else. It's got a mesh.
It's just tough. It's just not working out.
Listen, here's the thing. We've said this on the customer service podcast. All of our things, we come up with really hard opinions that then we'll change our mind on. Like, I'm sure if I went to an open floor plan house, I'd be like, this is nice.
Oh, this is,
you guys have so much room in here. But if I'm just making a list, I'm putting it on there because I can't talk. Half the stuff that we put on here is just stuff we don't want to talk about anymore. Like, we even put on here that we don't want people to tell us to stop talking about hardcore on the podcast anymore. We're going to do it. I can't not do it. So we can't be told it anymore.
Yeah.
And we're not going to listen. Texting. No more texting.
Okay.
It's just emails, anywhere else you want to reach me, that's fine. But I don't want to read a text unless it's a group text. That's fine.
Too much for one.
Yeah. No, if no direct text messages anymore.
Oh, see, I'm like panicked anytime I get added to a group chat now. I'm like waiting for the day where Barrett's bachelor party group chat comes up and I have no one's number. And I'm just like, oh no, what do I do here? Immediate.
Yeah. Oh, that's free play. You can mess with everybody not knowing who you're talking to. I'm just scared that they all have
each other's numbers and I'm just going to be out to dry. Just like, what's up, dudes?
Well, you'll have a lot of numbers. You'll have a lot of numbers, but you are a notorious group chat leaver.
No, I will only leave a group chat if it's not serving a purpose in my life, but there's going to be a moment where I'm probably doing something on your bachelor party where I need to text the group and be like, hey, can someone come get me? So I'm not going to leave that group text anytime soon.
Where's the bachelor party?
We're coming to Colorado. We're doing a little ski trip in Breckenridge.
Oh, beautiful.
Very nice.
Three things. One, congratulations.
Thank you.
Two, I was just in Breckenridge. It's beautiful. Three, I would hope that we can cross paths and maybe we can all get together.
That would be sick. We'll dial in on the itinerary and get with you off mic.
There you go. Is that where the Stanley Hotel is?
No, Stanley Hotel is in Estes Park.
Well, I feel like that's not far, but I also don't know the area that well, to be honest. So if you got time. You know what? That actually goes back to our inns. I don't know if you guys have heard of this. This is a new on my radar recently. Have you ever heard of Cryptid Core?
Cryptid Core? No.
No.
Okay, so I just saw this because we initially just put UFOs because they seem to be back in a big way, and we're pro it. Like, it's time, release them, release the pictures.
Yeah.
But we also I saw this Cryptid Core, which is basically like if you imagine the aesthetic of like the beginning of the Blair Witch Project, that's sort of it, and I'm into it. It's like 90s Midwest. It's good. It's like an American football album.
This is like middle school field trip meets like Stranger Things. I'm actually very into this.
Yeah.
Cryptid Core is good. Yeah. So that's in the endless.
Think like
for
disposable
sure.
camera.
Yeah. Okay.
See, anytime you can look it up and they have a mood board going.
There's a lot of them.
And there's just a toad on there. Like, that's just a vibe.
Yeah.
Randy, what do toads listen to when they're vibing together?
I don't know, the blarb music, gloopy music.
Have you guys heard the gloopy song or whatever? It's been going viral lately on Twitter song. And TikTok.
No. Is it like doom metal?
Oh no, it's some dude like made his own. Can you describe this, Randy? You're gonna do a much better job than me.
I can't describe it. I can only describe what people said it sounded like. It sounded like people like two bacterias chilling in like a pool of slime. Like
this is a cool concept.
Yeah,
it is just very gloopy and like very synthy.
This guy lives in Boulder, by the way.
Yeah. No, he definitely lives in Boulder.
Yeah. All right.
What else you got?
Here's another out. Look, this, he's covered in them, but no more tattoo talk.
No more
tattoo talk. Fine to get them. Can't talk about them. Not answering questions about them. I don't want them to have any meanings. And if they do, I can't hear it.
Yep.
Yeah. I feel like that one is permeating the culture though, because I try not to ask people about their tattoos anymore. I feel like that.
I'm way too scared to ask anyone about their tattoo. Like if I'm asking you about your tattoo, I'm taking a leap of faith that you like me. And like if like I remember I was looking at like a waitress's tattoo recently, and I was like, I want to ask her about this so fucking bad.
Yeah,
like,
don't.
And I just couldn't. Like you just can't do it. And like all I want to do
the
is
right
be like,
thing.
Where did this come from?
You did a service to America.
Yeah. As someone who doesn't have any tattoos and has been toying around with it for too long, like I'm probably going to be insufferable guy if I ever make it happen.
What do you got? You have none?
I have none, but like I'm very ready to take the dive, and I'm essentially just waiting on a couple creative materials to come in before I can set up a little consultant appointment. So we'll see.
Wow. Okay.
Let me throw in a little tidbit. You should get a massive eagle on your chest.
Yeah.
And then call it, and that's it.
Have nothing else. We've been talking about like what we think is cool is like not guys covered in tattoos, but if you have like one big ass one on like your arm, like you were in the military, that's pretty hard. That might be harder than having all the tattoos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, like I agree. You made one badass decision instead of like maybe like, I don't know, like 13 mediocre decisions.
Well, it's not cute. Right. Like it has no like purposeful, like fashion aesthetic. So it, in that way, it's like much more, it's just like, it's way tougher.
I'm actually getting a tattoo. I'm not getting an eagle on my chest. I'm actually just getting something on my forearm that says, don't ask me about my tattoo. And I'm just going to stare down anyone that looks at me.
That's pretty solid. Yeah. That'll work. That'll work.
Okay. Let's see a good in or out. Out AirPods Max or Pro. We only want the good ones, which are
we like the old ones only. We like that long stick or short stick, but I don't know noise canceling.
Okay, all right. And that what now are you you're not talking about the wired ones that you're both wearing right now, are you?
No, we just do this because it plugs in the thing because we can't have the two wireless at the same time. Plus, I don't know if that affects. We don't know enough about the audio of that situation. So we have this. Now, listen, the wired ones are pretty solid as far as ear feel goes.
Though. Yeah.
But we're talking about when the AirPods first came out and they basically just look like this, sans wire.
Yep.
Or the upgrade to that where it's just a little bit shorter, but no noise canceling.
Yeah. Okay.
Noise canceling earbuds are just pretty aggressive. Yeah. Like I don't, much like fax machines, I don't understand how it cancels noise when it's just like there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fax machines don't cancel noise. They just don't.
Well, last week we gushed over Jacob Elordi wearing Beats by Dre as an alternative to AirPods Max. And so he may have deaded the AirPods Max himself. Mm-hmm.
I've already said, I don't like wearing my AirPods Max in public. I feel like there's a connotation to it that I can't shake, and I don't want to be that guy.
Well,
I also want to be clear. I've had all of them and I've paid all the money for expensive audio stuff. Like you name it, I've had it. And I still think too, like I like make music and stuff. The like Sony MDRs or whatever, like the regular studio ones sound better than all the other shit I bought. And then when I went to the gym one time with the AirPods Max Pro, I felt like I was going psychotic. Like, because you can't, it's like as if you took one of my senses away and then put me out in public. And I feel like it's too much. It's aggressive.
Okay. I'm trying to think of there's any important ones. Vintage stores charging too much. We're done with that.
It's got to stop. I went to a place the other day and it was like a regular like blank sweatshirt. He's like, that's actually a really good blank, bro. Like, that one right there is like eight. I'm like $80 for a blank. I'm like, there's no way. There's just no way. It's gotten out of hand. These younger kids think everything's worth a lot of money. It's too much.
Yeah. I saw a TikTok the other day where somebody was kind of making fun of vintage. And it was a girl. She puts on a shirt and she says, this is my vintage blouse. I know it's vintage because it doesn't have a tag in it.
Damn, is that all it is?
You just don't have to have a tag.
I was at a vintage store recently and I was trying to find stuff for Halloween, and I stumbled upon like a tie-dye Jerry Garcia shirt that should have been priced at like probably $175-$200 based on the market for it right now, and it was $38, and I was like, well, I'm gonna snag this up. Brought it to the register, the guy pulled it up and he was like, dude, this is a cool shirt. Who is this? And I was just like, just wrap it up. Get it out of here.
Wrap it up fast. Don't start looking on eBay.
I was like, you're not if you look at this online, I'm going to be paying way more and I'm going to walk out of here angry.
But that was like the fun of vintage. Exactly. And then they took it away. Yeah. You know what I mean? By like looking everything up. It's like, just, you'll make the money you need to make and I'll think I got one over on somebody occasionally. That's the agreement. All right, I feel like we already did open floor plan. Oh, talking about ice baths. We can't hear it. If you want to do them, that's great. My God, I can't. If I have to have someone try to explain it to me again, it's like, I know what feeling really cold feels like. I don't need you to walk me through what it's going to do.
Yeah, you're no longer special when you're doing a cold plunge. Everyone can do a cold plunge, and everyone can go longer than like 10 seconds in it at this point.
I could have done it dry. I could have never done it before, and you could have shoved me in a trash can, and I would have been fine. I would have muscled it through. I lived in Chicago for like 15 years. I'm fine.
I feel like y'all have a customer out there right now that's listening to this podcast, just like, because he was just in the store talking about ice baths.
Buddy, it's any customer that lives here in Boulder.
They all got ice baths. Everyone's got an ice bath. Where is he? Texting, thumbs out. Oh, we don't like individualism. And this is what I mean by it. We think it's like, I miss the old days where everyone kind of had the same, like, there was only like three types of raw denim.
Yeah.
And if you saw a guy with it, you're like, he's got one of the three brands that are doing that. And it was like fun to talk about it in the same way that like we did the drop of VG, and then everyone was posting pictures in the Discord or sending them to us, and they're all kind of wearing the same thing in different ways. But it's like, yeah, it's cool to have the same stuff as other people. Mm-hmm. I can't handle the, if somebody else has got it, I don't want it. I don't like that. We got to go back to wanting the same things because it's cool.
I like group thought in like social situations. One person orders a drink and you're like, oh, that sounds good. And then suddenly everyone at the table's getting them, and it's just like, all right, now we're all now bonding over this common experience.
It's the monoculture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shared experience. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we think camo is back. We've been wearing a lot of camo. But he's got it on. I got like a cool pair of like pants in Japan. I think it's back again. I think it went away. Yeah. It comes and goes, but I feel like it went away for a little while, and we're back into it.
I would say the biggest, I feel like the turn this time is that it's like decidedly not military camo. It's like it's very much like a real tree and like hunting camos that are like, I'm keep seeing everywhere.
I agree. Yeah.
I've got my camo sneakers on right now, and I just will not take them off. I'm wearing camo at all times these days.
It's cool.
Let's go, bro.
I just love it. I've always enjoyed a nice camo, print.
And it fits in weirdly too. If you get the right stuff, it fits in nicely.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. We're getting to the dregs here. What about, we like cool lip balm?
Are we in on cool lip balm or out?
I love cool lip balm. I tell you what, it's a stretch because this is a $40 expenditure on lip balm, but the Boy Chanel line of they've got like a it's just called Boy.
I did not know this.
You get some like basic makeup, basically like a little cover up for when you got blemishes, or you get the $40 lip balm. And if you get it from the Chanel place, the Chanel website, they give you some samples and stuff. It's a rock solid investment.
After our next ad break, do I have an article for you guys?
Sally's going to like that too. She was bullish on ordering the one single solitary Chanel like lip oil and getting the big nice fancy box with all the samples and all that.
Oh yeah,
they give you like tote bags and stuff with it. It's crazy. They do it up.
Yeah, yeah. She's pretty good at ordering the stuff where you get a bunch of free samples.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna need a $40 Chanel Boy lip balm to go along with my $4,000 Phoebe Philo shirt that's coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's understandable.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, I heard you got one of everything, Barrett.
One of everything. Yeah. Yeah. Just said wrap them up. I'm like John Mayer with Visvim, but with women's Phoebe Philo. Yeah.
Well, I can't wait. I can't wait for that to land. I can't wait to see all the kids.
Yeah. Well, since
and the bankruptcy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, since we're talking dudes with their skincare routines and their spa products, do you mind if we kick it to a quick break and then come back and talk about this New York Times article that had me cackling earlier?
Yeah. All right. Absolutely.
Before we continue, how about a word from our friends over at Green Chef? Green Chef is a CCOF certified meal kit company. They make eating well easy with plans to fit every lifestyle. So whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, maybe even pescatarian, or you're just looking to eat more balanced meals, Green Chef offers a range of recipes to suit your preferences. You can enjoy your greens while being green. Green Chef is the most sustainable meal kit, offsetting 100% of the plastic packaging in every box and 100% of their carbon footprint and emissions. They make cooking easy so you can spend less time stressing and more time enjoying delicious home-cooked meals. They even have pre-made and pre-measured sauces, dressings, and spices so you can get more chef-curated flavor in less time. Green Chef is America's number one meal kit for eating well, with dinners that work for you, not the other way around. Like I said, it fits every lifestyle and diet so you don't have to worry, even if you're on that Mediterranean diet like so many other retail therapy listeners. It is such an easy process to order your food, and when it comes in, it all tastes delicious. Right now, if you go to their website, you can see next week's menu includes caramelized onion cheeseburgers, turkey with cranberry bacon pan sauce, and even coconut shrimp noodle bowls. That all sounds delicious, especially in the panic room. Go to greenchef.com/scaries130 and use code scaries130 to get $130 off plus free shipping. Again, that's greenchef.com/scaries130 and use code scaries130 to get $130 off plus free shipping. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. All right, we're back. Here we go. I've got a New York Times article that I'll be honest, I'm surprised that no one sent it to me and I stumbled upon it myself. It says, young men seek answers to the age-old question, how to be hot. Are you guys familiar with looks maxers?
No, please tell me more because I'm very interested in this article.
I wasn't familiar either. Are you guys familiar with a guy named Dylan Latham?
No. Mm-mm.
He has 1.2 million TikTok followers, which seems like a lot.
That's a hot name.
He's a good-looking young man. I don't know if he's still in his teen years, if he's like 18 or 19, or if he's emerged to you know his 20s yet.
He's 18. He's 18.
Okay, cool.
That's what
perfect.
I'm reading here. Yeah.
So we're allowed to roast him because he's an adult.
Yeah.
this says, and I quote: "Many of Mr. Latham's followers are so-called looks maxers, part of a booming digital community of young men seeking to enhance their physical attractiveness. Its suffix comes from the world of role-playing games, in which to max means to fully develop a single character trait like strength or wisdom." Randy, does this check out?
Correct.
Okay, perfect. And this is kind of turned into a bunch of other things, but essentially what's happening here is that young teen boys or men are now just absolutely being skincare kings, and they're sharing their skincare secrets with one another. They've even gone to coin the term soft maxing, which is trying to improve one's looks by eating better, exercising, and perfecting a skincare regimen. Essentially, anything short of taking steroids or going under the knife, which I love the idea of like high school boys being like, I can't wait to go under the knife and get like my face evened out.
As I turn 18, man, I'm going to buy a pack of cigarettes and go under the knife.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys have seen American Psycho, correct? I'm going to assume that you've at least seen the skincare part of that.
Sure.
Of course.
Well, there's another influencer out here whose name is Syrian Psycho, and he took inspiration from American Psycho. He's also a young lad himself, and it says...
Always a great place to pull inspiration from.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he said, it says, a September video from the TikTok user Syrian Psycho, who promotes soft maxing to his 1.2 million. Apparently, if you're doing this, you just have 1.2 million followers.
Yeah, it's a starting point.
But he bemoans the experience of going to a restaurant while mewing, the technique that involves placing the tongue under the roof of your mouth, which looks maxers believe makes the jaw grow square and stronger. And then starve maxing, which I don't know what that means, and I don't know if I want to look it up.
It sounds like an eating disorder.
They have looks maxing.
No, they branded it. It's different. Yeah.
So they did rebrand it. It's their term for extreme fasting. But this is my favorite part. Syrian Psycho gets a nice little part of this column. It says when he was 18, he watched American Psycho, the 2000 film, and his takeaway from the film was not its satire of consumerism, but that it was an aspirational lifestyle guide. Quote, when I was watching it, I was like, damn, I wish I had his skincare routine, his morning routine. The only part that isn't perfect is his psychopathic tendencies.
Oh, yeah, those.
Yeah, oh, yeah, those ones that all add to this.
Yeah, but, cool taste in music, everything else solid. But
so to put a little bow on this column, they also go on to talk about facial gains, which do you guys ever strive for facial gains?
I do.
Because this is, it offers advice from everything from eyelash care to hollowing the cheeks, but they also have some things that I will talk about, mogging, which is looking better than someone else. That's a term that I just want to put into my rotation. Like, dude, I'm straight mogging right now.
Yeah.
They also have bone smashing, which this is a joke apparently within the looks maxer community. It's where one breaks their own jaw or cheekbones in order to make them grow back stronger. And then they have something called puberty maxing, which I didn't want to Google because I don't need that on my search history. Yeah,
let that one rock.
Should we be scared
where do
of
you
the...
think they hang? You just said the community. Like, where do they hang out?
I think just Sweet on Green. TikTok and on like their TikTok lives. Yeah, Sweet Green's probably a good place to start as well.
Yeah, the kind of the creepy undertones here, and the article gets a little bit into it, is just that like a lot of this is like rooted in like incel message boards.
Yeah.
And so I remember like hearing and reading like 5 years ago about some of this just like insane stuff about like how basically like these guys think you can't get girls unless you have like the hunter eyes, which is where like your brow Whoa. Like come, you know, is shaped a certain way, and the mewing and getting the square jaw. But I did want to cue up the Miranda Priestly groundbreaking gif when Looks Maxing was described as eating well, doing exercise, and like taking care of your skin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, that's typically a good way to look your best.
If someone approached me at 18 and said, "Hey, man, we gotta start Looks Maxing," like I would be like, "What are you talking about? Like, I do not care at all. I don't think I had any good whatever it would be called, like just preparation that I did for myself when I was 18. I was trash."
No, I spent most of my time in like the lobby of a Taco Bell or a McDonald's. I didn't need to fuss around with my skin or anything.
That's where we hung out.
Yeah.
No, I'm scared. I'm scared of the new generation rising up with like better skin than me. Cause like I'm already behind the eight ball being like 36 and not, I don't even have a face routine at this point. Like I'm screwed if these kids start bullying me for this.
Do you think that maybe the whiplash to like this kind of thing might be like why these guys like, and I feel like you guys are going to be mad at me because I don't know sports, but the fellow that's dating Taylor Swift, because that's how I know him, he, like him and like Paul Mezcal, these guys aren't like, these guys aren't looks maxers necessarily. They mm-hmm. they're good looking, but they're more just like, they look like a guy from Texas.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like they're just like a guy, you know what I mean? They're not, and like, I think that like, maybe there might be a trend on the other side of this where that's why these kind of like regular guys are suddenly like the hottest guys.
If I was in high school and I knew that like there was a crew of dudes over at the lunch table over that were looks maxing, like there's no way that we would give them any cred. We would just be like, no, we're going to talk to their girlfriends.
I think Timothy makes a great point. I feel like that backlash kind of happens right after high school when like being like the pretty is kind of, and I mean that for like guys, is like way less appealing than being kind of like gritty or rugged or like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, like there's just like that shift into, to you know, I feel like that happens naturally almost basically.
Have you guys done banana Botox?
I've never heard of banana Botox.
I learned what banana Botox was this morning as I unpeeled a banana and handed it to my son. And my wife, Sally, looked at me and said, "Hey, don't throw that away." And I was like, "What?" And she goes, "I'm going to use that for something real quick. This would be perfect for retail therapy, actually." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" She sent me a TikTok where a woman takes the banana peel and just wipes it all over her face. And then lets it sit there for 10 minutes. And apparently it makes your skin incredible. Sally did it this morning. And I looked up the effects of this. It says it moisturizes your skin, prevents wrinkles. It's loaded with antioxidants and helps moisturize your skin, helps redness and inflammation. And you can let it sit for 10 minutes. You remove it with a warm towel. And then you add moisturizer or oil after. Whole squad on their banana grind.
I'll definitely do this.
This
feels kind of like whenever it's like free and kind of gross. That's when I'm really involved in it.
Yep.
This is the type of looks maxing that I can get behind.
Yeah, I had a buddy in college with a beautiful smile that whitened his teeth by doing exactly what you're describing, but just taking, you know, the inside of the peel, putting it on your teeth for 10 minutes, and he had a good smile. What he said.
I'm going to go home and do this.
So you can banana Botox and banana teeth whiten.
I'm going to be mogging so hard when I'm done with my banana Botox.
Tomorrow when you come in, you're going to feel like an idiot when he's so good looking.
Sally did report back that it was hard to tell immediately, but her skin did feel glowier and tighter.
That's enough for me.
Mm-hmm. I just had a dermatologist appointment and she didn't mention anything about bananaing my face though. So, you know, what's up with
that? I would call her and get your money back.
Let me know who that is so I can avoid going there in the future.
How many TikTok followers do you think she's got? That might be your problem.
Well, I don't think it's 1.2 million. So yeah, that's a good point.
You might want to get a new one.
I think all the looks maxers are just like training to be TikTok stars. I don't think they're actually trying to do anything else.
That's probably right.
If you're wondering where they hang out, I did a little research here. They have a Discord server called Mogwarts, which is the Opera Academy where only the best looking men and women get to have, and there's a week wait list, so you can go to Syrian psychopath
8 weeks. Whoa. That Discord, now I want in. Everything you sold it. I'm like, God, I gotta see the pictures in that.
They're gonna be like, who let all these old guys in? And we're just like, what? Like, we're not that bad.
We're like, no, we got bananas all over our face.
Should we do some wish list items? Have you guys prepared any wish list items? Did we tell you to prepare any wish list items?
I did not prepare any wish list items, but
we can make things. Yeah, we got it.
Well, you and I can go first, and then we'll pass the baton over there.
What do you got for us, Barrett?
They work in Canoe Club. Of course, they got wish list items.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, because we have Timothy and Chase from Canoe Club on here, I had to go Canoe Club. I think I'm I, it, Tough decision always. There's so much to choose from. But I think I'm going with the Needles suede clog sandal. Just yeah, because I don't know if I'm going to use this properly, but like when I show up in the Needles suede clog sandal and you're just in your regular ass Birkenstock Bostons, I'm going to be mogging all of
them. No, you're not going to mog. Dude, don't mog on me. You're not allowed to.
Yeah. You're going to have the feet up on the desk that day just to establish dominance.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause this is like just next level. Like I've graduated. This is the PhD of the Birkenstock Boston, basically.
I don't have a current wish list item, but because I have you guys here, I'm actually just going to crowdsource this from you. Where can I get a crew neck cardigan that is not gray with holes in it like the one in my closet currently?
Prismworks is the one. We both have like multiple colors of those ones, and if they drop more colors, I'll buy those too. Yeah. It's nice. It's off the shoulder. It's roomy. Chase is wearing it now. It's got the knit is really interesting because it kind of changes patterns halfway through. Mm-hmm. And but at the same time, like it's not loud. Like
you can not super fussy or anything.
Yeah. So you can wear
under
it with
over stuff.
Say no more. It's going on the wish list.
Man, I just cool. I've had a hoodie from Redone on my wish list as well from Canoe, really, and it looks like it's gone. The stuff moves quick.
Yo. Was it the red one?
Yeah. I mean, there were a couple of them, but the red one was pretty
cool. We kept restocking it, but it just goes too fast. The price point is too good for how cool that thing is.
The catch is it basically fit exactly like a Visvim hoodie.
Yes. So that was word on the street is basically like a jumbo for like, what, a quarter of the price or something. Exactly. So, yeah. So what's at the top? What are y'all just like, you know, eyeballing
actually,
right now?
We just talked about it, skincare routines. Well, I also just started washing my face this year. Like,
welcome.
No, I've been fortunate enough to not have to play too many games, you know. But I did start washing my face, and the Margin Cleanser I really love. It's probably the only product I use. I also have the moisturizer. I don't find that I use it as much, but I like how the cleanser feels. Gets me all nice and clean, and then I hit myself with a little rose spritz in the morning, but... Let's I would go. Recommend the cleanser if you know if you're getting to the end of your bottle of whatever you use.
Yeah, it's
I
good.
Would definitely
especially if you're
that.
Like just getting into it because it covers a lot of bases for you know with then you only have to have two things. You can kind of get the whole kit at once.
See, that's what I need. I'm way too lazy to have a full routine at this point.
Don't worry, listeners. We will link all of this product in the
Listener
Digest, Retail Therapy Digest.
Hell yeah!
What do you got for us, Timothy?
Okay, so a couple things. One of our employees got him because he's a psychopath, but the Nonative Timberland collab that just dropped is really cool.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
I want those. I want anything that this brand that we're going to bring in called Apresse from Japan. I want they just like started releasing some of their fall stuff. I want all of it. So anything that they release, I want. It's like tight capsule, but like it's like if you could go, you know, full Phoebe Philo mode like you did and get the whole thing.
Uh-huh, right, one of everything. Yep.
So okay. if you want to Venmo me, because obviously if you're, you know, you've got the cash. Venmo me a light 25K and then I can get everything.
Barrett's already trying to flip it all.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, according to Gab Waller, I definitely could. So,
is that the truth? Is it going for more than it was?
Yeah,
uh-huh. It has to.
So certain items are definitely already like achieving a pretty insane secondary market. Yeah,
I want to pay the secondary market prices. Actually, I'm into price maxing. You know,
I want everyone to know that I paid as much as humanly possible to wear this.
Yeah, I mean, it's what it all is at the end of the day. Anyway,
it's true.
You know?
It's true. Well, guys, thank you so much for popping on.
Of course.
Yeah,
this
guys,
is a pleasure.
This is such a pleasure. I wanted to say one thing. It came to me yesterday, and I just want to bring it to your listeners and ours as well. I knew this would be a fun conversation. You guys feel like, you know, like if you guys are the light version of the Pokemon, we're the dark version of the Pokemon. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's just a good pairing. Yeah. It's been a pleasure chatting with you guys.
Yeah. Thank you for having us on.
Yes. Thanks y'all for being here. And we're looking forward to popping over to your place pretty soon.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we'll catch up with you guys later. But until then, we'll see you guys
later. Peace.